Let's now humble ourselves before the Lord and ask for his blessings on this worship service. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great blessing that you give to us that we may gather together as your children in freedom. How precious this freedom is, for we know that in so many parts of this world, your people gather together in secret. There is the threat of harassment and persecution. Churches have been burnt in so many places, even in this past week that has happened again. Lord, your children suffer, and yet we may enjoy freedom and a wealth of blessings. And we humble ourselves knowing that we don't deserve this. And so we, in the light of your law, we acknowledge that we have sinned. But we thank you that we may also come before you knowing that you are a forgiving God, that our redemption has been paid for through Jesus Christ. And so we may ask for forgiveness and rejoice in knowing that we are declared righteous in him, that there is no condemnation, that we have been set free from bondage to sin and to death, to live as your children. And so we pray for your blessings on your word as we listen to it today, that it may build us up and strengthen us further in service to you. A service of gratitude, of thankfulness for your salvation, for it is great. And we pray that the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ may be heard throughout this world, a world that is in travail, that groans because of man's fall into sin. And Father, we await the fullness of salvation that you promise with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you will bless your word and use it to gather in the elect, to bring in your people from every tribe and nation, and that the church of Jesus Christ may be prepared as a bride for the coming of her groom. And so we pray that you will break the work of Satan as it is manifested in so many places in this world, and that you will cause the gospel to triumph, to reach and overcome the resistance in many hearts for the salvation of many and for the glory of your name. Father, we thank you that we are so privileged to live in a free country, and we know we cannot take this for granted. And we therefore also pray for those in authority over us, that they may be endowed with all that is needed to do their work well for the benefit of the people in this country. We pray for those who are in Parliament at the federal and provincial levels. We pray, Lord, also for those who are called to uphold law and order in the judiciary and in the police forces. Will you grant them faithfulness in the fulfillment of their tasks? We remember that on a day such as this, not all are in a position to come to church. We think of those in the healthcare sector. Will you grant that they may be enabled to do their work with compassion? And will you grant that the minds and hearts of yet many may turn to you and find in you comfort and strength? There are so many in this world, Lord, that are burdened by cares and sorrows and living without hope in the darkness. Grant that they may look to Jesus Christ and find in him light and life and hope. In his name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. We begin at verse 10 to 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from Proverbs 31, the verses 30 to 31. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, today many of you perhaps paid attention to the fact that it's not only Sunday, it's Mother's Day. And the work of a mother is many-sided. Much of it can become rather dreary, cleaning the house, doing the wash, going shopping, cooking, and a host of other tasks. And there are also special challenges, being a good helper for your husband, being a good mother for the children. That means listening, speaking, showing care and concern in a way that only a wife and a mother can. We often take the work of a wife and a mother for granted. But it's very important. It's important for husbands and children. It's important to the Lord. He even devotes a part of his word to giving us a picture of a good wife and mother. And the scripture passage for this morning is part of the book of Proverbs. This book is full of practical teachings. It's meant in particular for young people. There are many word pictures that give insight into everyday life. Scenes of beauty and warnings for pitfalls are part of the instruction. You can learn a lot from it about human relationships and how they should function. Our text is part of what is called wisdom literature. Many nations have their proverbs, sayings of the wise. But the book of Proverbs is unique. Never forget the total perspective of this book. It teaches us how to be truly wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's a fundamental theme. It forms both the basis for the many proverbs of this book, and it's also a theme that comes back very clearly in the final chapter of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Do you want to look at a picture of what divine wisdom looks like when it's put into practice? Take a look at the wife and mother in our text. She's a living illustration of what the grace of God can do in a person's life. She's a blessing to people in her family and outside her home. And so we come to the theme for this morning. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And we'll focus on 3 points. The source of her strength, the activities of her life, and the fruit of her works. The source of her strength, the activities of her life, and the fruit of her works. Now, I mentioned, beloved, that the book of Proverbs is especially important for young people. So boys and girls, young men, young women, I really hope that this morning you'll be paying special attention. Let's start with that focus on young people. When you read the passage we just read, you young people, men and women, should be asking yourselves, now how does this apply to me? I mean, if you're a guy, what's this supposed to mean to you, that description here of this praiseworthy woman, this virtuous woman? I mean, you're not a woman. And what about you young ladies? You say, I'm not a wife yet, I'm not a mother yet. What is this supposed to mean to me? Well, good question. What kind of people should you aspire to be? And if you're looking for a spouse, or you're wanting to become a spouse, what's important to you? We see that question in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? That's how this particular section begins. And our text, the verses 30 and 31 forms the conclusion of the description. So that virtuous wife, that excellent woman, who is that? We're talking about someone very exceptional here. The word for virtuous can be translated as able, capable, strong. And just read what such a woman does. The description teaches us to value the role of a wife and a mother in a family. It also serves as a warning to young men who are looking for a wife. Don't forget, younger brothers, that the woman you feel attracted to will hopefully not only be your lifetime partner. If it pleases the Lord to bless your marriage with children, she will be their mother. Know what kind of a woman to look for. Be careful whom you choose. Our text gives some important guidelines in this respect. Many things have changed since the fall into sin. Man is now by nature dead in trespasses and sins. He's full of sinful inclinations. His life is no longer naturally directed towards serving God. And this problem is not just peculiar to the boys and men among us. It also applies to the girls and ladies. Undoubtedly, the fall into sin has also affected our external appearance. If you look in the mirror, you might wish you had things like a longer or a shorter nose, better hair, a stronger or more attractive body, and so on. And still, there can be young women out there who can be very charming and quite beautiful. Scripture doesn't deny this. Charm and beauty are not something intrinsically evil. But looks are not everything either. Our text makes this very clear. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. There's a deep spiritual intent behind those words. It opposes the kind of mentality cherished by the film industry, where a beautiful face can be the ticket to success. The admonition in our text should help us to see something of the far-reaching effects of sin. You can really get misled by charm. Someone can have very fine manners and seem very considerate, but it can all be a show, a thin veneer. Just think of cheap furniture. It can look great, but underneath the surface layer is just plain particle board or fiber board. What you see on the outside is not really what you're getting. And similarly, charm can camouflage a heart that's not really focused on serving God. And the order of the words of our text in Hebrew highlights this problem. If you follow the Hebrew, it's deceitful is charm. And the word for deceitful also means a lie. Watch out for it. A whirlwind courtship can lead to a very stormy marriage. Take time to really get to know the person you are attracted to. You brothers who are looking for a wife, you'd better remember this. Take time to discern if the woman you want to marry is really the one the Lord would be pleased with. Maybe the girl has a face like an angel and manners to go along with it. But it takes more than that to be a good wife and mother. Don't fall in love with only a face. If that's all you pay attention to, you might regret your short-sightedness for the rest of your life. There's a saying, a man will forgive a beautiful woman 1,000 faults. Beauty has a way of softening the heart of a male. And that can, however, also lead to foolishness on his part. How solid can a marriage be if the man has married the woman for her looks? And that's why our text gives us an extra warning to bring us to our senses here. It reminds us, beauty is passing. Again, the order of the words in Hebrew emphasizes the statement. Passing is beauty. The word translated as passing can also mean a breath. It's here one moment and gone the next. If you're looking for a wife, think about that. Young men, what is it that attracts you to a certain woman? Are charm and beauty her only strengths? Even if you're quite satisfied with her appearance now, remember that time will leave its marks on her body. It deteriorates with age, usually losing the attractiveness that it once might have had. And will you find her just as attractive when she's put on pounds in the wrong places and her face gets wrinkled? If her face is the only thing she's got going for her now, her faults will get on your nerves in the long run. So what are you looking for? What should you be looking for? After all, appearances can be deceiving. And true beauty is more than skin deep. Our text points that out. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what the Lord regards as important, a woman who fears Him. And that's what we should therefore also value most highly. A woman who knows the Lord, who fears Him, has deep reverence for Him. The Bible means more to her than a fashion magazine. And she's eager to know what pleases the Lord. She's willing to put in a solid effort to do that. And knowing that He is both King and Judge, she doesn't want to violate His commandments. She stays away from what is evil and seeks to do what is good. And this God-fearing lifestyle is not born of a spirit of legalism. It's a loving response to the Lord who has shown Himself to be the loving Savior of His people. In New Testament terms, we would say she's a truly Christian woman. Undoubtedly, she's not perfect, but she asks God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And she knows that only through the Spirit of Jesus Christ can she receive the strength to live a holy life, focused on serving God. Such a woman should be praised, says our text. Is your mother like that? Show that you are sincerely and deeply thankful for who she is and what she does. Praise her. It's what our text is saying, isn't it? She shall be praised. It means if you're not doing it and she's a God-fearing woman, you are falling short. Boys and girls, young men, young women, even those of you who are older and you think of your parents, your mother, maybe already in an old age home or getting near the end of her life, think back on all the things that she's done for you, your mother. Have you thanked her? Have you praised her? Have you thanked God for her? Think of such a mother. Boys and girls, young men, young women, is this a picture of the woman you would like to marry? Or for you young ladies, is this who you are, this portrayal of this woman? Wonderful, if that's the case. The world treasures charm and beauty, but when we see things in the light of God's Word, we will value a woman's God-fearing nature more than anything else. And we'll talk about this too. The wife that our text speaks of is a gift from God. He is the source of her strength. He is the ultimate goal of her life. And what a gift when the Lord gives her as a helper to a man. You young men who are looking for a partner should keep this in mind. Pray to the Lord for such a God-fearing spouse. And who is better able to bring such a woman to you than the Lord Himself? We read about this in Proverbs 18, verse 22. It says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, this proverb doesn't mean that every wife is by definition good. The assumption is that the person has received a good wife. That becomes clear when we look at Proverbs 19, verse 14. "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." So if you're looking for a wife, pray for one like that. And then keep the biblical advice of our text in mind to recognize who to look for. A prudent woman is one who fears the Lord and in this way receives God-given insight into the things that matter in life. She is a woman who is truly wise. True knowledge, true wisdom, doesn't necessarily come from reading many books. It's not about, is the wife that you have in mind, does she have a bachelor's degree? Does she have maybe a master's degree? Is she smart, learned? It's not the main point. True knowledge, true wisdom comes from being very familiar with one book, The Bible. It comes from learning who the Lord is, who reveals himself through his word. And for us as New Testament believers, this also means knowing Jesus Christ. Through him we know God as our Heavenly Father. Through him we live in fellowship with the triune God. Without him, we could never lead a God-fearing life. True knowledge, true wisdom consists of fearing the Lord. It means respecting him and living according to what he has revealed. And if you don't do that, whether you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, then by definition, according to Scripture, especially the book of Proverbs, you are foolish. Beloved, fear the Lord if you really want your life to be fruitful. He should form the basis of your life and be the source of your strength. Lay your sins and weaknesses before him, asking him for forgiveness and for what you need to serve him. He is able to help you fulfill your many responsibilities in the right way. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Such a woman is active. This brings us to our second point. The last verse of our text speaks of her works. And Proverbs 31, the verses 10 through 29, give us insight into what that means, her works. Let's pay some attention to her activities as a wife and a mother. The book of Proverbs is a very practical book. It doesn't speak about wisdom in an abstract way. It shows us how wisdom, which involves fearing the Lord, can function in everyday life. And Proverbs 31, the verses 10 to 31, are very important, very special in this respect. Even the form of this passage in the Hebrew language attracts special attention. Did you know that each of those verses begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet, starting from the first letter and going to the last letter? Means essentially this is an ABC structure. First line, it's like there's the letter A, Aleph in the Hebrew language. Second letter, there's the letter B, Beit in the Hebrew language. And it carries on line by line. It's what is called an acrostic. It's an alphabetical structure. And putting things in this ABC structure, it's a form of Hebrew poetry. It would also make it easier for those who use the Hebrew language to memorize this poem. And this is how it teaches us the ABCs of the life of a God-fearing wife and mother. And the contents are certainly worth taking to heart. Some writers remark that the list of activities this woman engages in is not set up in a very systematic way. They suggest that putting things into an ABC form for the external structure of this passage has gone at the cost of the internal structure. Fancy words. External structure, internal structure. What they mean is that the subjects could have been dealt with in a more systematic way. For example, activities concerning textiles, agricultural concerns, food supply, clothing, personal interaction with members of the household, etc. You want to know something? Such an observation is a typically male approach to things. Really, it betrays a lack of understanding of what the work of a woman involves. Of course we don't get an orderly list here. That's not the purpose. This is a God-given picture of everyday life. Observe a woman who is a diligent wife and a mother, and then you will see how complicated her daily routine can be. A scholar might like to work at things in a systematic way. Think of a Bible commentary. Yeah, systematic. Or a book on theology, systematic, all the topics lined up. But running a household isn't the same as writing a book. Sure, there are daily routines. Our scripture passage gives several examples of this. But unexpected things happen too. They often get dealt with on the spot or while the other activities are carried on. There's variety and a lot of work to be done. A good housewife will find herself improvising more than once to fit things into her day. The passage we read lists activities specific to what we might call a middle-class family living centuries before Christ was born. In some countries, you could still encounter families with a lifestyle comparable to the one described here. But in Canada, the situation is radically different. How many women here spin wool, manage servant girls, buy a field, or plant a vineyard? There are differences in culture and in the circumstances in which we live. And still, we can learn a number of things from the list. Feminists reading this passage might conclude that this passage supports holding down a job outside the home. Doesn't the woman described here do all sorts of things outside the confines of the house she lives in? Sure she does, but don't equate that with a working mother nowadays. You'd be misusing our text to support the ideas of wives holding down a job somewhere. It might be necessary for you to work outside the home in your circumstances, but that's not what this passage addresses. Although this woman leaves her home for what we might call business reasons, she does this in connection with her home. Her home is the base from which she operates. She doesn't work for a boss somewhere else. The first verse of this ABC poem calls her what? Not an employee, a wife. And the next verse brings her husband into the picture. The husband of this woman is the head of the household. But it's clear that being the head doesn't mean he does everything himself. He has delegated all sorts of things to her. He trusts that she can handle this. Proverbs 31 verse 11 shows us this. When it says the heart of her husband safely trusts her. He safely trusts her. That's because she has proven herself to be trustworthy. And as a result, she has lots of room for her own initiatives. This wife doesn't look for someone outside her home, but she does have her own home business. She's not looking for an outside job. She's got a home business. Look how busy she is. The activities of this wife are so many that you might wonder what her husband does. He's pictured as being known at the gates. Look at verse 23. He is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And maybe some of you women are thinking, ha, what does he do while his wife is running around doing all kinds of work? But don't jump to the conclusion that he's a lazy fellow. When it says he's known in the gates, it means he's a somebody, not a nobody. The city gate was a place where a variety of affairs took place. The elders dealt with social and administrative matters there. Business could be conducted at the gate. And since verse 23 speaks of being seated with the elders of the land, we may conclude that the husband of this woman was involved in dealing with important matters. But this would not necessarily be the case all the time. In any case, Proverbs 31 doesn't offer further explanations about him because he's not the one in the limelight. His wife is. She's the main figure in this passage. And the focus is on how important her role in the family is. The types of activities such a woman is engaged in may differ from place to place. Nevertheless, we may draw certain general conclusions. First and foremost is that her contribution to the life of her husband is very positive. It says in verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. As a God-fearing wife, she knows that she's called to be a helper for her husband. Her relationship with him is one of cooperation, not antagonism. They're not fighting each other. She works with him, not against him. And that's why he can trust her and count on her completely. She's a reliable woman. Not all women are helpful to their husbands. It's not always that way. The book of Proverbs mentions repeatedly the aggravation that can be caused by a contentious woman, a quarrelsome woman. We read in Proverbs 21, verse 19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Solomon had wives who influenced him to commit adultery. And Ahab was certainly not a good king, but having a wife like Jezebel didn't do him any good either. She urged him on in his wickedness. And Job's wife didn't offer him spiritual support when he sat in ashes, scraping his painful sores with a piece of broken pottery. His wife was not a good helper for him when she said, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Wow. That's encouraging. Having a good, supportive wife is therefore not something to take for granted. Material wealth might be worth a lot to some people, but that's nothing compared to a good wife. Back to Proverbs 31. It says, her worth is far above rubies. It's more precious than jewels. And the Lord himself teaches us to see this, brothers and sisters. Take it to heart. This wife is very industrious. She willingly works with her hands. We read in verse 13. She's not one to lounge around in bed until all hours of the morning. She gets up early and fills her day with a variety of activities. And in the evening, when it's dark, you still find her busy. It's possible to live from one day to another without setting goals and making plans. But a wife can also decide to work at things in an organized way, putting her time to good use. That's what the woman in our text has done. That's what she does. She makes sure, for example, that the people in her home have good clothes in time for changing seasons. That's part of a total lifestyle in which, we read in verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In those days, women couldn't waste their time in front of the TV or in reading a variety of useless magazines or books. But there were still more than enough ways to let a day go by without getting anything done. Too many social contacts, for example, could easily lead to the lifestyle of a gossip. You don't need Facebook for that. Just drop in on your neighbor and talk. Before you know it, an hour or two is gone. It's not hard to waste time with useless chit-chat. The woman of our text fears the Lord. And this means she wants to serve him well through her daily activities. So she looks ahead and plans her activities. But she's not a workaholic who never has time for the personal touch. She's not just out for material prosperity. She also takes time for charitable goals. She is sensitive to the lot of the poor and needy around her. Hospitality and helpfulness are an essential part of her daily life. And this fact is even reflected in the structure of the scripture passage we read. The verses 19 and 20 form the heart of this poem. Just take a look at that. The verses 19 and 20. This is the heart of the poem. And there you see that the same hands that work at spinning cloth, they're reached out to the distaff. And the hand holds the spindle. This is about spinning cloth. That hand that is spinning cloth is the same that is extended to the needy. People might waste their time with idle talk, but this woman knows that idle talk is not constructive and that can even be destructive. This woman, says verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. People can sense from what she says that she fears God. Isn't that what wisdom is all about? On her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness, the word there is Torah in the Hebrew. And Torah, that means teaching. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Evidently, this woman makes it a point to talk with her children. She devotes attention to teaching them about the Lord and His will for their lives. And the book of Proverbs emphasizes in this respect that both the father and the mother have a role to play. This is clear from the outset in chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Again, that's the Torah of your mother, the teaching of your mother. And obviously that's biblically based teaching. The word Torah can also refer to the first five books of Moses. So we're not just talking about like a set of commandments here or what my mother says is law. No, that's not what it's about. It's about instruction. It's about teaching. A mother plays an essential role in the life of her children by teaching them as they grow up. And our text shows us a truly wise woman and makes it clear that she's exceptional. How many women in the world are like this? Proverbs teaches us that not all women are wise. There are many foolish women out there. Wise women fear the Lord, and they contribute in a constructive way to the lives of their families. But the lifestyle of a foolish woman is ultimately destructive. Why? Because of its wrong orientation. They don't live for the Lord according to His will. They live according to their own standards. And that's not life with a bright future. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, we read about the contrast between the wise woman and the foolish one. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Never underestimate the influence of a woman as a wife and a mother. A woman can be a powerful influence for good and a blessing to her husband and children. But she can also tear down her home by having the wrong priorities in life. And so, value the work of a God-fearing woman, brothers and sisters. The Lord is at work in her life. And you can see it if you look at what she does and how she does it. And let's now pay attention to the fruit of her works. This is our third point. Just look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Just think about that. Undoubtedly, you've heard your own mother or else your wife sigh and say, I really wonder at times what I'm working for. I wash the dishes, I clean the floors, I do the laundry, and in no time flat I can start all over again. There seems to be something thankless about such repetitive activities, right? They go on and on. You don't see real progress. If you're a landscaper, at least at the end of the day, you see results. A week later, you can still point to the location and say, I did that. Or if you're in construction work, you can point to a house or a porch or a fence and say, I built that. But if a mother just mopped the floor and even one child walks in with muddy boots, she wonders what the point was of the work she did. Right? The Lord knows what kind of frustrations a wife and a mother can go through. He therefore urges us all to take time to show appreciation for her work. She deserves to hear that. She did it for the Lord in the first place, but she also did it for her husband and her children. And it would be wrong for them to take it for granted. Our text calls you to show appreciation for such work. Verses 28 to 29 show us a family scene that illustrates the point of our text. Might look like a special occasion. The woman's children are all around her. And says her children rise up and call her blessed. That indicates a festive and happy moment. There are two verbs in Hebrew meaning to bless. One, barach, is used when God bestows blessings on man. This can be the case even when man did nothing to deserve it. And the other, ashar, refers to a person being called blessed in connection with what he or she has done. And this state of being blessed or being called blessed is linked to having responded in a positive way to God's revelation. Look at Psalm 1, verse 1, for example. That's where you see the word ashar. It says, blessed, ashar, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And this state of blessedness is closely related to happiness, or what we would call bliss. Blissful. Happy. That's the intent of the Hebrew word here. In Proverbs 31, the children of this God-fearing woman call her blessed. She has feared the Lord and responded positively to His revelation. And they appreciate this deeply. And in their praise, these children also acknowledge the Lord. He gave her the strength she needed. Doing what the Lord wants you to do gives a deep sense of satisfaction in life. And that satisfaction deepens where a wife or mother sees the happy faces of her husband and children expressing appreciation for her work. The husband expresses his thankfulness in a way that would touch the heart of any wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. That's verse 29. You could say, you surpass them all. Mom, wife, you're the greatest. Remember what was said earlier about being a virtuous wife. And I said, you know, the word virtuous, it refers to being able, capable, strong. You find that same term, or a connected term in verse 29. There's a connection with verse 10. There's a translation that links them by the word excellence. Instead of saying the virtuous woman, talks about the excellent woman. And then you can see more clearly in verse 29 the connection. You excel them all. Excellent, excel. This is a capable woman. And she shows it in what she does. When this husband expresses his joy in his wife, he is acknowledging what a unique and good gift the Lord has given him. The Lord is the source of her strength. He has made her a channel of blessings for his family and for people elsewhere. And this woman deserves to hear such praise. Our text is clear about this. The Lord gave her the strength, but she responded to him by using her God-given abilities well. So now I have a question for you. How often do you stop to consider what your own mother has done for you? You men who are married, do you realize what your wife does all day? How often do you express appreciation for her task as a housewife or mother? She has a God-given right to hear how much her work is appreciated at home. What do we read in our text? And let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, if people outside the home show their appreciation, we're talking about the gates here, this is a public place. If people, other people outside the home, they recognize a connection between what this woman is doing and the fruit of her works. They're recognizing that. Then shouldn't that tell you something? If people outside the home show your wife, your mother appreciation, great. But you should be the first to be saying thanks on the home front. Give her credit for her accomplishments. That's the point of the text here. Would there be as many women seeking fulfillment in a job outside their homes if men and children would show more appreciation at home for what they do? The work of a housewife is not dumb work. Look at the ABCs of the poetry at the end of this book of Proverbs. Probably not a few sisters among us will be thinking, who can measure up to this? And let's admit the fact that the Bible is portraying an ideal picture here. What a blessing a God-fearing woman can be to her family and to others outside her family. Looking in the mirror of this scripture passage is probably a humbling experience. The sisters among us who are wives and mothers might feel quite inadequate. You see your shortcomings. And if that's the case, the Lord is now calling you to see your task. And that task begins on your knees. You pray before you work, don't you? Surely you can't serve the Lord in your own strength. None of us can. Fearing the Lord means looking to Him for forgiveness and new strength. And this applies to each one of us in whatever task the Lord gives us. This applies to you whether you're married or not. Isn't Jesus Christ your Savior? Didn't He die on the cross for you? Didn't He rise from the dead and ascend into heaven? Didn't He promise His Spirit to enable you to serve Him? Family life can only blossom through Christ. And then the husband can learn to function properly as head. Then the wife can learn to function as his helper, serving God together with her husband. Now, what a joy this gives in life. None of us can serve the Lord in our daily work without depending on Him for strength. We all need to realize this, whether we're young or old, married or not. He is the source of our strength. He gives meaning to our daily activities. And when we trust in Him, our lives will be fruitful and we will have reason for thanksgiving. What a blessing that is. Amen.